Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. There's Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. I'm back in town. Got a 7-game homestand. Diamondbacks A's starts today as we tape this on Thursday. Padres coming off a sweep at the Big A. Oh, Ryan, I'm just so tired. Oh, geez, it's going to be a long season. Where would you like to start?
It's been the week from hell. That's what I was thinking about this morning, is since last Saturday morning, the Padres put Joe Musgrove on the IL, Yu Darvish on the IL, lost Manny Machado potentially for a while. We don't know enough about the Machado situation, but the hip flexor is not a good thing to injure. Luis Arraez injures in a shoulder or an elbow or something sliding. The team goes 2-4 in two very winnable series, plays poorly, and all of a sudden can't hit. If the Padres don't make the playoffs, and if this season devolves into something terrible, we may look back at this week as the week when things started to get bad.
Right. And that's kind of what I wrote on Saturday, that there was a pall. It was ominous. And you keep doing this. And I'm only going to point this out because I want to point out the disparity with the Padres. You've made a few references over the weeks, like to the Royals and how they were winnable. That team is freaking good. Like, that team is good. And that I point this out to say, the Padres went there and were a Yuki Matsui meltdown away from sweeping the Royals. That lineup, I can't express to you enough how tough that lineup was, how well they play. They've got some good pitchers. And then they went and did, and it's kind of like this, what Padres fans are just confused by, tired of, and you know what? Padres as well. Then you go to Anaheim, a team that had lost 5 in a row, 8 of 9, is not a good team. They're just not. They're not a good team. Did they play well the first couple nights? Yes, they're major leaguers. Tyler Anderson's a good pitcher. Patrick Sandoval's a veteran pitcher. Great. They did not play great last night. They tried to give the Padres some help, and the Padres wouldn't take it, and the Padres lost, and they were swept. Not only the first team for the Angels to win a series at home against, but the first team to be swept, obviously, because the one thing follows the other. First team that the Angels have won 2 games in a row at home. They hadn't even had the opportunity to sweep. Like, this was the one, and I wrote about it in the Gamer and in the Padres Daily. Like, the Rockies, you could say, okay, the Rockies came in hot. They just swept the Rangers. That's all good. This was bad. This was really, really bad.
This segment is brought to you by Hamul Casino. Kick off summer at their annual block party on June 15th. It's a full day of free play, live music, free food, and more. Learn more at HamulCasinoSD.com. Yeah, there's no spinning losing 3 in a row to the Angels. And now we're starting to see the things that happened to everybody during the course of the baseball season happening to the Padres, right? The Padres, and Tom Krasovic has written about this a couple of times over the last couple of weeks, and I'm not going to blame him for jinxing this, but the Padres have been mostly spared the bad injuries, the lingering injuries, that sort of stuff. You know, look at the Diamondbacks, right? Diamondbacks are a shell of themselves because of the injuries that have been bothering them since spring training. They've mostly avoided that except for the last week. And, you know, when Manny Machado pulls up running to first and exits the game, you know, that's, I winced watching him run. What's the latest on him? What did they say post game? And your history with this, will Manny Machado try to play through it or concede that it might be worth an IL stint?
It seems the new Manny Machado and the new, like, you know, Padres handling of Manny Machado and that teamwork there, because it's a dual decision, right? Mm-hmm. That's the guy who might go on the IL, or that they hold out for 4 or 5 days to see, depending on what the severity is. So it doesn't seem like it's the kind of thing where he comes out of a game, he says it's sore afterwards, says he has to wait and see how he wakes up. It doesn't seem like the kind of thing that, he's starting the day and we're all going on with our lives. Right. So, you know, yeah, I remember seeing Kraz's story about how the Padres are being helped by the other teams. I know I would have gotten emails if I'd written that and the next day the injury started. But anyway, yeah, that's one of the things, too, why and we've talked about this to some extent, like when the team talks about, we've been winning series, 2 out of 3 is good. Like, that's logic's impossible to argue with because you win 2 out of 3 all year. You're going to the playoffs, but you don't win 2 out of 3 all year. That's why you need streaks. And you also need to do well while everyone's healthy. You need to be well while other teams are struggling, and you need to build up. It's banking it, right? It's banking the credits for when times are tough, and times are tough right now. And the Padres went out and they won that first game after Joe and you go on the IL, and you know, Arise goes out in Sunday and they still had that chance to win. And that's great. But like, this is what I meant when I wrote on Saturday about how like this could, you know, this was a big blow.
Yeah.
Because these are the kind of things that chip away. If everything goes well, it's okay. This is what good teams endure, and the Padres may well do that. But things aren't going well.
No. And the Padres injured list now, it just people who are either on the IL or injured, it now includes two of their opening day infielders, or two of their opening day starters, in Manny Machado and Xander Bogaerts, two-fifths of their starting rotation. That's not good. Obviously, you don't want to lose anybody during the course of the season, but somebody like Manny Machado, who I think was just starting to come out a little bit of the slump that he had been in most of the year, you know, just like Xander Bogaerts was, you know, you're losing two guys, or potentially losing Machado at a time when he was starting to heat up a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, it's funny making a big deal out of Machado and Tatis all this time. And they were 11 for 20 in this series. And that was with Manny going 0 for 2 before exiting yesterday. Now, here's the thing I'll say. The slug hasn't come.
Right.
Tatis had a double among, what was it? Let me just check here. 7 for 12 in the series. He had a double. The rest were singles. Mm-hmm. Manny had that home run in the first game, first inning of the first game, and was 3 for 7 the rest of the way, so 4 for 8, but just with the home run, the rest were singles. That's great. I mean, you don't throw those back, right? But you know, if they're going to carry the team, if you know, and now if it's going to be Tatis as the lone standing guy, the lone ranger of what was once the Three Musketeers, he's going to have to hit some bombs. Because right now, you got Cronenworth slumping. You got Campusano slumping. Ha-Sung Kim sort of coming out of it. Donovan Solano, last couple nights, not doing what he had been doing previously. David Peralta had 3 hits in his second start. Hasn't done anything yet or beyond that. Has hit some hard line drives. That's about it. Like, there's nothing else coming from anywhere else, really. I'm sorry. Jurickson Profar and Luis Arraez, we're taking them for granted. they're still hitting and getting on base. But, yeah, look. I try not to ride the waves because I can't, right? Mm-hmm. But you have to be aware and you have to forecast what could possibly happen. And this is not a good spot. I see. Now look, maybe the Diamondbacks do too. They come to town for these 4 games. They had lost 5 in a row, I believe, then won 4 in a row before losing to the Giants yesterday. They're basically the Padres. Like, they haven't played as many games. I think they're 29 and 33. The Padres are 32 and 33. Maybe the Diamondbacks see this as a really pivotal series too. But I just see this as a gigantic series for the Padres.
Absolutely. It's a divisional series, obviously. I mean, it not only helps them, but hurts the opponent if the Padres win. I want to talk about the Diamondbacks for a minute and just kind of big picture about.
Hey, just that. 1 minute. That's all we got from the go.
Yes, they're wearing teal again. No, Diamondbacks, to me, the big change in my thinking in the last year has been the Padres are no longer challenging the Dodgers for supremacy in the West. The Padres are now trying to essentially be the Diamond. And I think that that's a tough pill to swallow. Yeah. When we talked about the decade of the Padres being the 2020s, the Diamondbacks last year had sort of the blueprint for what a team like the Padres now has to hope to do, which is you get in as a wild card team, you hope to get hot, you hope you beat the Dodgers in a series that matters. Tell me I'm wrong about that, or is this big pick globally? Are the Padres and the Diamondbacks in the same bucket right now?
I can't argue with your premise. It's obviously, like all arguments that we make in life, basically simplified a little much, right, to make a point. But you are, how can I argue with you? They're not challenging the Padres or the Dodgers over 162. Been telling people that for the start, not like I'm, you know, John the Baptist out there, eating locusts on my own, preaching that. But like, this is, that's just what it is. And yeah. And I think it's everybody's. It's almost everybody's. They won't say it, but that's, if you're in the NL West in particular, that's what you're trying to do. If you're
right. And that's not.
Yeah. That's all I got, Ryan. That's all I got.
Well, and it's not to say too that people shouldn't get up for playing the Dodgers, and that the Dodgers shouldn't be seen as a rival and a measuring stick that you're trying to aspire to. But the rivalry games, if you're trying to make the playoffs, are games against the friggin' Diamondbacks and Giants.
Yeah, you know
it's
what?
Not it's, against the Dodgers.
As you were saying that, your original point there, I was thinking of talking with a couple players the last time they were playing the Diamondbacks. Maybe it was before or after. I don't know. They took 2 or 3 in Arizona. And players were essentially saying that. Not your greater point. I don't want people to – but they were talking about, like, if we'd done – 2 games better against the Diamondbacks last year. You know, there were a few games there with the Diamondbacks when the Diamondbacks were struggling, because that was for a big portion of the season. That's, yeah, you know what? The Padres players were essentially saying that to me last month.
This segment is brought to you by Hamul Casino. Kick off summer at their annual block party on June 15th. It's a full day of free play, live music, free food, and more. Learn more at HamulCasinoSD.com. Right, and that's what makes this series so big. You know, it's a weird 4-game series starting on a Thursday night. A little weird. I'm thrown off, Kevin. The kids are out of school, and it's a Thursday.
Oh, condolences.
I've been calling today Friday all week, but it is a 4-game series that starts here Thursday night. Let's talk a little bit about the Diamondbacks here. Pitching matchups. Padres are missing 2/5 of their rotation.
Yep.
How do they line up?
Have already seen 3 of the 4 starters. The other one's Sunday's a rookie matchup. A kid named Blake Walton making his 3rd start against Adam Mazur. We can talk about him if you'd like.
I want to.
And the Diamondbacks saw Michael King and Waldron did not see Vasquez. So tonight it's Slade Ciccone against Randy Vasquez. Brandon Fatt tomorrow against Michael King. You have Ryan Nelson. This is a rematch of the finale in Arizona. Neither one of these guys pitched very well, but the Diamondbacks scored 11 runs. So Ryan Nelson got the win. Ryan Nelson and Matt Waldron, who has been a completely different pitcher essentially since that day in Arizona. Not completely different, like he abandoned the knuckleball, but he's more confident in throwing the knuckleball more. And then we've got this Blake Walton and Adam Mazur on Sunday. So I guess that would be the one I'm really looking forward to. I've seen all these other guys. Padres mostly have Nelson's number. They do okay against Fat. They kind of beat up on Ciccone in the middle or the latter part of his outing. He looked really good, and then they scored. They crushed him in the 4th and the 5th. This is Michael King and Matt Waldron have been the Padres stalwarts. I mean, thank goodness for them, the 4 and 5 starters, because Dylan Cease, I mean, got a quality start last night. But, you know, look, guys like Dylan Cease aren't allowed to have 6-inning, 3-run games where you make 2 brutal mistakes and they get hit over the fence against the Angels. That's not fair to Dylan Cease, but, like, especially now, Dylan Cease has got to be better than that.
Right. If I'm buying a ticket for the weekend series, I think the game that I want to watch is Friday. That is really good.
Yes.
King, it's feast or famine with him. I mean, you have a chance to see something either really good or really bad if what we've seen this year holds up. To me, that is a very interesting pitching matchup. Can we talk a little bit about Adam Mazur? Is it Mazur?
That's my understanding. Yes. Okay. I'm far more concerned with spelling, but I do like to respect that. And that is my understanding. After we all for like all spring and everybody was, it was Mazur.
I've been calling him Andy Mazur, not Adam Mazur. Interesting guy. I mean, looked pretty good in his first outing. 6'2", tall, lanky, it's hard to make a comp. I know in watching one of the broadcasts, you know, both Scanlon and Mark Grant, who are pitchers, said that this is the kind of build you want a right-handed pitcher to have, sort of wiry and tall. What did you make of
his Scanlon first says pitch? That.
Exactly. What do you make of him after his first
time? Seems to have a real like understated Midwest confidence to him. He really does. Really. I mean, it's just like, yeah, I'm going to go out there. And that's really what it looked like on the mound. He had nerves, obviously, right? Like, I always like to kind of put myself in their place and just kind of understand how incredible it is to have become one of the 21,000 young men to ever play Major League Baseball, which sounds like a lot until you remember that basically all of us played Little League. So you want to talk about a funnel going from, you know, 40 million down to 20,000 and just the dream. And I try to remember that. Of course he had nerves. Yet, while having those nerves and them being somewhat obvious based on the fact that he's a strike thrower and he wasn't throwing strikes, the guy pitched six innings of one-run ball. Also, while having those nerves, looked like, this is no big deal and I'm going to get outs here. I'm just going to keep the thing that guys get off track is when they try to be something different than they were in the minor leagues. And he was just a guy who, I'm here in the majors now, soft landing against the Angels. He might've been, you know, one of the only guys to actually realize they were playing the Angels. I'm going to put the ball over the plate. I've got good stuff and guys are going to hit ground balls and I'm going to be okay. And that's what he did. And that to me is super, super impressive.
Right. And trusting his defense a little bit too, you know, he got bailed out what, two or three times by double play balls. But I mean, they weren't smashes, you know, it was, I was very impressed to me. And the more I hear and read about him, the more of an impressive fella.
Four pitches over the plate, four pitches near the plate, where you want them. That plays in the major leagues if you can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, probably not their first choice to have a rookie in the rotation during a meaningful time of the year, but he's acquitted himself nicely, I think.
Guess what? If you're good at what you do, like the Padres, I don't want to say they are because that makes it sound like I'm saying they're not.
Right.
But guess what? Gavin Stone's kicking ass for the Dodgers, okay? Right. So, like, if you're who you say you are, these guys are going to come up and make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. This segment is brought to you by Hamul Casino. Kick off summer at their annual block party on June 15th. It's a full day of free play, live music, free food, and more. Learn more at HamulCasinoSD.com. Padres Diamondbacks four-game series starting Thursday night at Petco Park. Kevin, before we go, I always try to put you on the spot. Give me a good baseball cliche for what we've seen out of the Padres here in the last week or so.
Oh, wow. You know, usually you put me on the spot and I'm like, okay, I got this. And right now, I'm sorry. I'm dead. For where the Padres are. There's so many. That's what's so embarrassing about this. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the grind. You know, what was it? Manny said something last night about how this, you know, this stuff happens. We got to pick each other up. And you know, what are you thinking, Ryan? And I'm really letting you down. I feel like I haven't let you down. I've gotten used to, you know, kind of parrying, like, you know, you keeping me on the edge, but I'm letting you down this time.
Kevin, you referenced John the Baptist eating things in the desert. That will never disappoint me. I love you. We're Dennis Miller all of a sudden. I love it. It's great. It's so funny. I just think of Tatis talking about being in the jungle, right? That's
one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's his sort of analogy du jour. You know, I was thinking about the old Bruce Bochy line about just buzzard's luck. And I, you know, they picked a bad week to
have a bad week.
Yeah, bad week to have a bad week. I'm also reminded of Airplane, which is not a baseball movie. But picked a bad week to stop sniffing glue. Is that the line?
The grind. Good teams overcome this sort of thing. That's the one that we've heard, right?
Yeah.
Talking with Mike Schilt yesterday, and he has some thoughts on this, but he stops himself and he says, winners find solutions. You know, every team has these problems. That's a cliche you're going to hear today, probably. That is true. The grind is the one that I say all the time. And I know that it's like, I roll my eyes at myself when I say, talk about the grind, mm-hmm. But when you're going through it and I'm not a player, but like, I can just tell you with firsthand knowledge, and also being the guy who's closest secondhand knowledge of seeing this year after year after year, like the baseball season is a grind. And there's the Dodgers, there's the Phillies, there's the Yankees who seem to, you know, they would tell you they have troubles too. But like you look at them and you go, you got three guys with 1,000 OPSs. I'm exaggerating a little bit. It's like you're fine, okay. You've got two of the best pitchers, Phillies. You're fine, okay. But it is a grind, man. It just beats you down. And the teams that manage these portions of the season the best are what you were talking about. You get, you're the Diamondbacks, and you make it to the playoffs, and you feel like, look what we did. No one can beat us. Like the world, like Mother Nature did not beat us. Like nothing beat us down this year. And now we're hot and we're going, you know, to the World Series. And sometimes that works out. And that's what the Padres are going to have to do here. I don't see them going on a 20-game win streak and overtaking the Dodgers. They're going to be a wild card team, and it's going to be how they respond. Like I said, I'm not going to make too much out of this, but I'm going to tell you, I just feel like this series and this homestand are huge. You go 3-4 on this homestand, and
Right. It's funny in baseball to make the playoffs, to spray champagne on each other after clinching a playoff spot. All you got to do is win basically as many games as you lose, plus 5 or 6 more, right?
Especially now.
And I think that some weeks that seems like a really easy task, and some weeks it seems really hard. And I think that the Padres are, yeah, definitely going through it right now. Best part about baseball, now I sound like Mike Schilt. There's a game today, and maybe today is the day that things turn around. So that'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. Join us next time when we talk about the Oakland A's coming to town, by the way. Who's excited?
What a tease that is.
For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.